Good morning, Oregon. Thank you once again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Every weekday, this podcast brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. You'll find the full details at offbeatoregon.com. Do check that out when you get a chance. But first, sit back and relax, and let me tell you the story of the Spanish flu in 1918 to 1919. You may remember a couple 3 years ago, we had this little scare about the swine flu. Well, the Spanish flu actually was probably related to pigs as well, and it killed 3,675 Oregon residents. But a lot of stuff's changed since then. Now, this particular article was written on May 24th of 2009, and you'll remember, if you remember back that far, in the spring of 2009, we had just gotten done with a small smattering of swine flu cases, which actually killed a few people. So flu epidemics that crossed over from animals were very much on people's minds. Okay, here we go. As the warm, dry days of summer start spreading out over our calendars, most of us have already forgotten about something that was all over the news just a couple weeks ago. Swine flu is now known officially as the H1N1 flu after friends of pigs and pork made their displeasure known. But of course, it got that name because it jumped to humans from hogs. And that in itself is disturbing because two of the ugliest flu seasons in American history came to us that same way. The 1975 season and the one in 1918. The 1918 analogy is especially troubling. It hit the country three times. A mild smattering of cases in the spring, followed by a torrent of sickness in the fall and an even worse hit in early 1919. Well, we just ended our spring with a smattering of swine flu cases. Could we be looking at history repeating itself? The 1918 epidemic hit Oregon hard, but the statistics aren't as frightening as the legends that have come down to us through the years. Out of an Oregon population of about 750,000, 48,146 got sick of the dreaded flu, and 3,675 died. So roughly 15%, one out of every seven people, came down with it. But if you were unlucky enough to be in that 15%, you had a 92.5% chance of surviving it anyway. The bottom line is that for any Oregon resident in 1918, the chance of dying of the flu was 0.5%. This is not to trivialize or laugh off a 5-in-1,000 fatality rate. But it wasn't anything like the bubonic plague in Europe or the German measles among the Kalapuya peoples. Still, it was an ugly time. People had just gotten back from the war and were in no mood to lock themselves in their homes and cover their mouths with diaper-like masks. Health officials were nearly panic-stricken. They knew they were looking at a potentially catastrophic epidemic, but they couldn't get anyone to take it seriously, even after a few died of the effects the previous spring. The cities of Corvallis and Portland closed movie theaters, and dance halls and other gathering places were temporarily shut down. Business owners howled, those inside the city limits with rage and those outside with glee, because people were simply traveling a little bit more now for their social gatherings, and unfortunately many of them paid a heavy price for it. Today the swine flu seems to have left us alone for the summer. But if it follows the pattern of 1918 and returns this fall with a vengeance, there's one thing Oregonians should keep in mind. Many of the people who died of the flu in 1918 didn't die of the flu. They died of secondary infections, such as pneumonia, infections that today respond well to antibiotics. So even if this flu is just as bad, it won't kill nearly as many people. Plus, not having just won a war, people are much more likely to take doctor's advice and not go out socializing, if advised to do so. And by the way, the Spanish flu seems to have been particularly amenable to traditional Chinese medicine. In 1918, a Chinese herbalist named Ying He was counted a municipal treasure in Zhangde. Almost everyone in town and for miles around the countryside was a patient of Doc He. After Oregon had counted its dead, not a single one of those 3,675 unfortunate souls who died of the Spanish flu was one of Doc He's patients. That's it for today's episode. If you're listening for the first time and want some more information about Offbeat Oregon history, you can get it all on our website at offbeatoregon.com, which is the complete catalog of about 205 columns going back to 2008, plus links out to audio and text feeds on RSS and iTunes, and also to the Facebook page and Twitter feed. The website's also where you'll find full citations to sources for this story, which include a book by Dick Pinterich, the U.S. Census Bureau, and OHS.org. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, written by Carmen Ficarra. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatorgan.com/cc. Coming to Corvallis, drop me a line and let's grab a cup of coffee and talk history. I'm at finn@offbeatorgan.com. And that is it for today. Today, of course, being Christmas. Yes, I will be posting one tomorrow. That is because I don't do this for work. This is fun for me, and Christmas is a great day to have fun. So I'm going to be posting for your holiday enjoyment the fourth in our four-part series about the Bhagwan Shri Rajneesh and Rajneeshpuram in Oregon. The fourth, and actually the scariest of the bunch. Because there are a lot of law enforcement agents around Oregon who actually think that the Bhagwan situation could have ended a lot more messily than it did. So I'll have that story for you after about 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. And in the meantime, go out and fill up the rest of your Christmas with good stuff. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Bye now.